Blog Talk Radio.
Here in Georgia that are doing Sunday voting, go out and get the souls to the polls. And this is Down South and Dirty with Scout Smith. This is episode number 11. Today we'll be talking about the African Americans. 2 weeks out from midterm elections and everybody's asking this one question: what are the African Americans thinking? Who will they vote for? Will they turn out? In this episode, we will attempt to answer these questions and dig down deep and have a frank discussion about the African Americans. If you've been listening to the news over the last 6 months, the biggest factor, particularly with the race here in the races here in the South, is what does African American turnout? What is it going to look like? Who are we voting for? As you noticed, in the state of, I think it was Arkansas, that they actually, no, it was Mississippi, excuse me, in Mississippi, where in doing their primaries, African Americans actually went and voted in droves in the Republican primary to push out the Tea Party favorite, which was, you know, was stunning in itself, and it started a ripple effect through the South for as what the Republican strategy was going to do toward African Americans. You also heard, if you are you a follower of electoral politics here in the state of Georgia, as the Nunn campaign was coming out of the primaries, there was a large question about what was she doing to reach out to the African-American community. This is a major question that's asked to do a lot of candidates, particularly here in the South. Whereas African-Americans do not make up the majority of the population, we form a very large voting bloc, which votes usually in between 97 to 99% for Democrats. So if you have such a large ethnic population that is always voting for one party, the way we turn out has a great effect on what elections will turn out with. And I know for my personal circle, we're all voting for Democrats this election cycle. And also, there's been a lot of different tactics that have been used to either try to dissuade us from voting or to persuade us to voting. You heard when we first started out in this segment that in certain counties here in the state of Georgia, we have Sunday voting. First time ever in the state. You have the counties of DeKalb, Fulton, Athens-Clarke, Floyd County. You have Daugherty County. You have Richmond County. You have Liberty County. You have Chatham County. You have a whole lot of different counties that are decided, Richmond County, that have decided to go into Sunday voting. And when it first happened, there was a large outcry from Republicans that this was a ploy to increase the African-American vote. And, you know, why would that be the case? Why would African-Americans be more likely to vote on Sunday than any other date, and why would this a big thing? And then DeKalb County was said that it was going to, we was going to have throw parties and stuff around going to go vote. Well, I'm going to explain to you why that may be a reason of concern for the Republicans. If you're not a Southerner or don't understand the African American electorate, we're probably the most conservative wing of the Democratic Party. We're most likely to be, our voters are most likely to be church members. We're most likely to be Christians. So you got to think about it. Where are all the voting, most likely to vote African Americans going to be on a Sunday in church? I know a large churches right now in Atlanta are loading members onto buses and taking them to the Pacific polling places in their counties. They're calling it souls to the polls. This could have a major impact on the turnout of the vote because you now have no excuse not to go vote. You're sitting in the pew and your fellow parishioner and fellow congregant is now getting on a bus or getting in a convoy headed to the poll. Are you headed home? Are you headed to the Piccadilly? Are you headed to go get something to eat when everybody else is going to go vote? Peer pressure is on, people. You're going to go vote. So with that being said, this was an excellent idea that was first started off in DeKalb County, picked up by Lowndes, and then it kind of circulated. And most counties had an attempt at doing it. Even here in my county, we didn't make it out of the Democratic committee with it, but we at least the discussion came up. And I'm not going to get into the internal politics of Troup County Democrats and why Sunday voting didn't take place, but it's something that needs to be discussed after this election. Now, we as African Americans have to look at why we are voting who we are voting for. And it's not a whole bunch of gray into that question, because you got to think about it. Who supports things that African Americans are for? You know, civil rights. You know, the ending of mass incarceration. Who wants to help lift up the poverty level? Who is supporting public education? Who supports upward mobility? Who supports unions? All these different questions that the African Americans, things that concern us, are being answered by the Democratic Party. Now, the Republicans, on the other hand, will take every once in a while and excuse my terminology as I use it. Disclaimer, do not charge it to my heart and not my head, or vice versa. This is it right here. The Republican Party, every once in a while, will run a token Negro to go in there. And usually if you listen to the spouting, like the language that's spouted, it's very negative toward other African Americans. There's a lot of self-hate involved in that. I used to be a Republican, and I had a lot of self-hate, and I'm not understanding of what my culture, truly the greatness of it, and the richness of being African American meant. And a lot of these candidates will sit there and tell you they don't consider themselves African American, which that's a whole other argument inside the black community. Some people consider themselves black, others consider themselves African American, talking about the fact, well, I've never been to Africa. Well, some of us have and still don't consider ourselves African Americans, vice versa. But at the end of the day, we are part of one same ethnic group. And you have those who, for whatever reason, believe joining the other side will gain them some type of advantage. And you would think that the Republican Party would try to do some type of market research, some type of cultural analysis to get an understanding that these type of candidates do not, under any circumstance, appeal to African-American voters. We did not vote for Obama because Obama was black. Because if that was the case, Jesse Jackson would have won the nomination in 1984. We would have had Shirley Chisholm would have won her nomination back in 1976. So we did not just vote for Barack Obama because he was black. We voted for Barack Obama because he was the best damn candidate. And so you send us people like Ben Carson and Alan West and knuckleheads like that, and you even got Stacey Dash, who used to be my crush when I was younger, sitting on Fox News talking all kinds of craziness about how we're unintelligent, we don't deserve the right to vote, and all these other things that we've been bamboozled. No, you've been bamboozled. You done forgot what country you live in. Because to a number, when we protest, we're called thugs. When other people call protest, they're called activists. If white people burn down some houses and stuff in protest, which it have been done, please, people, do not forget the South in the 1960s. Those, you know, I guess they were great patriots because they caused just as much disruption than we ever did in protest for what they wanted. So nobody can kick back to me on that argument. However, African Americans do make up a very large portion of our voting base, particularly in the South, very large voting block. And the Republicans have done nothing, and I say nothing, to try to gain our vote, try to sway our views, anything other than one thing. And my fellow brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to listen. I want you to focus in on the words I'm about to say. The only time African Americans are pandered to by the GOP is they attempt to use their so-called supremacy inside of the Christian religion. Because, see, if you tell some African Americans that it's for Jesus, it's good, it's Christ-like, some of us will be foolish enough to believe it. Let me say it again. Some of us will be foolish enough to believe it. Every time somebody says Jesus, somebody says Christ, sometimes they say Christianity, it is not for the best for the people that are being spoken to. You have to remember religion has been used time and time again throughout the ages, including whatever religion it is. It's not just concentrated on Christianity, but you see it in Islam and modern Islam. You see it in a lot of religions in which people use their supposed religiosity to suppress you, oppress you, to keep you in the box, to keep you from thinking. The Jesus I serve allows me to be free, and he causes me to be a free thinker. So therefore, I do not need a bunch of individuals getting together talking about they're bringing the kingdom of God to earth, because God will do that on his own. He does not need any human beings to help us out. But yet the GOP does attempt to infiltrate African-American communities by using our religion against us. So you must be very aware when you have people coming around you talking about Jesus and using politics at the same time, listen to what they're saying. Because you remember when we were slaves, they used Christianity to keep us in bondage. And you also, if you are a Christian and you have been to church and you've been raised as a Christian, you also understand that Revelation does talk about those who will come teaching false doctrine. So be prepared, be aware, be on guard, because that is the one way they are attempting to try to focus inside of our communities, is by using the fact that we are a church-going people. So, again, the African Americans. There's a lot of energy. You know, the Republicans are not focusing a lot of energy on us, but the Democrats are. And when I come back, I'm going to sit there and give you a talk too about what the Democrats have done to try to excite the base that the Republicans have not liked. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith, and I'll be right back. Smith with Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith, and we're back. And we're going to talk about what have Democrats done to try to excite the base amongst African Americans. Well, one, we talked about in the last part of this, in the last segment, we talked about Souls to the Polls. We do realize that a large number of African Americans are churchgoers, and that when, you know, Sunday would have been a good day to get us to go out to church. It would be a good day for anybody to go out and vote, because usually Sunday is the day off, typically for most Americans. It is the day that is usually the laziest day, where you have the least to do and could make time to go vote. One of the other things that the Democratic Party has been doing to excite the base, engage the base, is talk about our issues and let them and pinpoint how the Republican Party has been different than the Democratic Party in addressing those issues. One has been voters' rights. In Georgia, and even at the federal level, we have seen where voters' rights have been trampled upon and have been engaged in ways that are pushing us back to Jim Crow. We've had more, you know, we have senators and state representatives here in Georgia talking about restricting early voting, making sure that we can't Sunday vote again next year. We've had increased voter ID requirements. All of these different things in which, and even have said that they don't believe everybody should vote. That we are not, you know, you're not intelligent enough. We're not intelligent enough. We're not informed enough. One of the things that is always told, that we're low information voters, in which most people I know that vote on a regular basis, they are very, very, very in tune to what they're voting for. If you're taking the time to vote, usually you're politically aware. I mean, even if it isn't but for the 4 weeks preceding an election, that you clue in, your election mind comes on, you start watching the television, you start looking at your mailers, you go through newspaper stories, you're doing that. And they know this. They know that we're paying attention to the issues. So therefore, to pull back on that, you know, the Republicans have done things to, you know, basically piss off the African-American electorate. And the Democratic Party has taken advantage of that, which is rightfully so, they should do. I mean, point it out to us. Let us show it. Tell us, the professionals need to bring it to us as a voting bloc and tell us how these things truly affect us. Because fought hard for voting rights. We fought hard to gain that right for our people. So with anybody trying to restrict that from us, that is a reason to go out and vote. That is a reason for you to get your mama, your grandmama, your cousins, your neighbor, them, and just grab them and say, hey, let's go vote. Particularly if you're in one of those metro counties or one of these cities or counties that are voting today on Sunday, you need to go out and vote. And you have to 5 o'clock in most of these places. Please go out and vote. If you're listening to this show right now and you have not yet got your sticker on you, then you need to go get it done. You need to go as quickly as possible and go vote, because this is one of the most important elections that we will have in a decade, because this could possibly swing the United States Senate. It will set battle. Here in Georgia is going to set the tone for how the governorship is going to run up to 2018. And it's going to also give us a chance. You know, we got a chance to possibly take some seats in the House and in the Senate here in Georgia, which gets us a vote closer to getting back some type of parity. We don't necessarily have to have a majority. We just need a powerful minority that can go in there and put some stop to some things, you know, to cause a discussion to be had. So if you are living in a district in which a Democrat is running, I suggest that you do not pass that name over. You done voted for Michelle Nunn. You done voted for Jason Carter. You done voted for the Fab Five. You done voted for Chris Irving. You done voted for Greg Hick. You done voted for Daniel Blackman. You done voted for these people. Okay, I need you to look down to your local section, those House district seats and those state Senate seats. And you have, some of us have district attorneys. We have ballot questions. I need you to look at those things, and I need you to vote on them, because they're very, very important. Particularly here in Georgia, there's a tax amendment that is sitting there that I need for everybody to really pay close attention to. It's supposedly to put a cap on the state income tax. Now, all taxpayers saying, wow, that's a wonderful thing. No, you can't raise taxes. Well, no, they won't be able to raise taxes. But if Georgia gets in a situation where our state is unable to gain useful revenues, then that means programs will get cut. They will push toward austerity instead of being able to raise revenue. If you're at your house and you already done cut, the next thing you start looking for is that maybe I need a better job. I need to increase my income. We're going to take that right away from our state if we cap this income. And if we don't, they will find income and be the one. There will be increased fees and fines and this other nature going into our governments. And we know we already got a lot of counties here that if they start receiving any kind of state funding, they will revert to giving tickets out and putting people on probation to be able to cover their expenses. Come on now, folks. You know they're going to find a way to get their money, but it sounds good. We're going to cap taxes. We never want to take the ability away for us to be able to raise revenue. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, is the cap taxes. That's crazy. You need to vote no against that amendment. There's also another amendment that's on there that's talking about diverting funds. There ain't enough information on that for me. And anytime people want to put money in a special fund for something, somebody's going to put their hand in the cookie jar. So I'm voting no on that one. And then there's another one about deferring taxes from exempting taxes from colleges, this, that, and this, in the, that own buildings, and this, that, and them not paying taxes on it. And to me, again, I'm taking away my ability to earn revenue as a government. And I know that the Republican thinking, the Libertarian thinking, that to raise taxes is stealing, but, you know, a republic is a cultural club. Taxes is your dues. That's what you need to look at it as. Because I promise you, if all the services and stuff that the government provided went away, you would collectively bond together in some type of to start collecting money from each other. Then you will make it mandatory to be able to do it just so you can get certain stuff done. You would end up forming quasi-governmental entities to be able to get what you needed. So might as well just go stick with the system that we got. Human history says that's what will happen. So we need to always keep our ability to raise tax revenue open, but at the same time being very cautious when we do decide we want to raise or cut taxes, because that is other people, that is the people's money, and we always need to be good stewards over it. But the way these bills and stuff are written, they are written to make it seem like it is always a good deal. And we already see that amendment on the tax cap is possibly most likely going to pass, and we're going to have problems in the future trying to get that open, and it could be the nail in the coffin for the state of Georgia if it does pass. So I'm just imploring people to pay attention on those particular items. But again, pay attention to your local races. Vote down ballot. Because the Democratic Party has spent a lot of money trying to get people to pay attention to these races. Some of you African Americans here in Georgia may have gotten a mailer in your mailbox saying, don't hold your hands up, don't shoot. Do you want another Ferguson vote? Conservatives are outraged by that. Rightfully so. It's going to piss us off. It's going to make us vote. I've thought about it since the beginning. The reason the people in Ferguson are in the position they're in because they don't have proper representation in their government. You have a city that's majority black, but the government's majority white. There's no common interest there, other than, you know, probably in small areas. You got the occupying police force with majority white. There's no common interest there. This is America. We're supposed to be a melting pot, but some people don't stop stirring the pot, don't turn the heat down, so we don't melt together so good. You know, that's the engine of that economy, the engine of that democracy that has been turned down, so that pot ain't as hot as it was, and nobody's stirring it, trying to keep it together, because what they're trying to do is get it to congeal and separate out the parts. So we have to really pay attention to the fact that, yes, those things happen in environments. If you look at neighborhoods where the poverty level is high, where there's large amounts of police activity dealing with crime and other drug wars in high effect, look at the voter turnout in those areas. Think about it. Look at the voter turnout in those areas and think, those people are and probably aren't well represented. Not by people that are like them. Those people are not, you know, they're not in the system. They're not engaged. So therefore, you're not engaged. If you're, you know, somebody once said that if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. And if you're on the menu, you're getting ready to get ate. Somebody's a part of a 5-course meal deal here, and they're fixing to go down. And right now, it's poor minority communities, particularly in the African-American community, where the war on drugs has been waged on us. And that's one of the other things that the Democratic Party has been making sure that they've been putting in front of us, has been the ending mass incarceration, school-to-prison pipeline. They've been putting those things in front of us to remind us that if we don't engage in government, government will engage in us. And they will engage in us as the enemy. So we must be mindful that we need to get out and go vote. African Americans, if we can get turnout, everybody's talking about this magic number of 30%. So 30% of African Americans go vote, there's a possibility that Georgia Democrats will go in for a win. If that same number kind of spreads across the nation, in which the African Americans are large portions of the population, or minority communities are large parts of the population, then you see victory for progressive causes, then guess what? We need to go ahead and put some gravy on that. We need to push that toward the 40-45 percentile, 50%. I talked about this earlier in earlier shows that I was watching the elections in Scotland over independence. I've never seen anywhere in the world that I've ever heard of where they had 80-plus percent turnout rates in a referendum. So nobody has a right to complain over in Scotland, because everybody got their right to say what they had on their chest. We need to do the same thing. It will be nothing when you look at voters' rolls, and I'm going to use a particular precinct here in my home county, at the Griggs District, where we have well over 25 to 3,000 voters in that district registered. And I live in a small town, so if I'm talking in those low thousands, that's a large number for us here in Troup County and the City of LaGrange. But typically, my elections don't reach over 1,000 people. They actually go vote. I need that number to be in the high 60s and 70s. It needs to happen, and it needs to happen fast, particularly during early voting. Get it out of the way. You might end up getting switched on shifts or something on election week or something. I don't know, but be prepared. Go vote. Vote Democratic. Vote Democratic not because you're black, but because they are tending to the issues that are most meaningful to our community and you. You want higher wages. If it was up to most of the GOP, there would be no minimum wage. And some of you know how hard it was to get your last raise, so you know your boss really don't want to pay you as it is now. And since he has to pay you a minimum wage, he wants to cut your hours. What they will do is they will cut your pay and increase your hours. So if you want not that to happen, you need to go vote. And I'm just telling you, this is the business model. American capitalism was built on a low wage. It was built on free wage. No wage at all. So the closer they can get to that, because that's the way their margin is sitting, or where they believe their margin is sitting, then they are going to do that. And any legal recourse they have to be able to do that, they will use. So, again, the Democratic Party has placed that in front of us, the minimum wage. They place women rights in front of us because we know as the African-American community, let's be honest, as much as women want the men to be in the forefront in leadership, we are a very matriarchal society. We are very matriarchal in our culture, and this has just become over time. Now, that may change, and that's a whole other show about how the dynamics of our community is changing and where people think they need to go. But women's rights are very important. Reproductive rights are important. To be able to get ready access to birth control so we can reduce the rate of unwanted pregnancies so that African American women can pursue their dreams and can wait a little longer in pursuing motherhood and hopefully putting themselves in a more stable situation before pursuing motherhood. That's a part of a larger cultural conversation, but we do not need a tool taken out of the toolbox. And reproductive rights is a tool that can be used to help stabilize some of these situations. So we got jobs. African American unemployment is higher than regular national unemployment. So if you have, let's say, an 8% unemployment rate in your area, then you're normally going to look and see the African American rate being somewhere around 11 or 12%, in some cases higher. So that's been placed in front of African Americans as a tool to engage us in the vote. Has been jobs and job availability and income inequality. And income inequality is one of those things that is greatly affecting the African American community, particularly here in Troup County, where we are ninth in the nation, and in Fulton County, where I believe you're number two. Somewhere for a little higher up the scale, but I believe it's number two, or maybe number three, or something like that. Somebody, please correct me. But those issues of income inequality is also a reason why African Americans need to turn out and go vote. Because you're looking at the 1% versus the 99%, and if you look at that 99% and how much of that we're making up, I mean, that's a very large number. And you're also looking at the fact that income inequality is also what drives a whole bunch of different variables that it's driving. It's driving the ability to get a good quality education. Because if a child is going to school hungry, if a child is coming to school from an unstable home environment, if that child has other worries and anxieties on their mind, then they are not able to grasp the information that is being presented to them inside of a school situation. So, therefore, when we close that gap, we also increase the educational outcomes of our children in these communities. So, this is another very good reason for African Americans to continue to push their friends and their families and themselves to go out and vote this November. Because if you don't, then what you're doing is voting for that gap to increase. You look at the median tax rate for those who are in the 1% versus those who are in the 99%. If you remember the 2012 election, Mitt Romney was paying an effective tax rate of 11%. Well, most of us know we're going to pay that 23% and maybe even higher when we get to looking at other things. So when you're looking at that, from, again, the standpoint of why it's important for you to go vote, because guess what? Your legislators, your city councilmen, your county commissioners, your aldermen, your ward representatives, whatever it is that governs over your particular town or county or city or state, those people usually have some type of ability to set some type of tax rate. Now, I know here in Troup County, we don't have the municipal income tax, nor do we have a municipal property tax inside the city of LaGrange. Most people love that. It's something that is, you know, that is has driven our economy to a certain point. But we also still have this high level of income inequality, and it has been something that has started to frame some of our elections of the have and have nots. And even at the state level, it's starting to frame a lot of conversations of the have and have nots. Something else that is being brought to the forefront of African Americans in this election about have and have not: health care. 400,000 Georgians don't have health care in the state of Georgia right now because of the governor's inability and not inability, but not wanting to take Medicaid expansion from the federal government. We know that he's playing politics. We know this. The whole health care reform thing was originally a Republican idea. We've always supported it. They don't want to accept ACA. They want to replace it. Well, the only thing you can replace ACA with for me is single-payer Medicaid for everybody. That's the only thing it can be replaced with. So if you talk about that, then you might be able to get some votes there, GOP. Talk about single-payer progressive health care, then you might be able to get some votes for us. You might even be able to get the White House back if you talk about that. But stop talking about trying to kill Obamacare, because guess what? It is not going anywhere until we get single-payer. So, because if it does, that'll be the day that you see the pitchforks for real, and you're going to want to get repealed these little open carry laws you got, because we will be coming to get you if you take away our health care. Now, with that being said, African Americans, I'm going to say it again, today is Sunday in a lot of counties here in Georgia, you got the right to go vote today. Exercise it. You need to go out, place your vote. Michelle Nunn, Jason Carter, the Democratic ticket all the way from the top to the bottom, Rooter to the Tooter. You know, special shout-outs to Doreen Carter, Connie Stokes, Robin Shipp, Liz Johnson, Valerie Wilson. Sisters, carry on, do your thing, because you got my vote. You got the vote of a lot of people. I mean, so that, again, is another thing that's been placed in front of African Americans that we have, you know, that we need to pay very close attention to, is that this is a historic election. There's 5 African American women on the ballot here in Georgia, very qualified women. It's amazing. And they need for us to turn out. 30% is not good enough. 30-40% is good. 45% will be better. Let's turn out in ways that we would have never thought we would turn out. Let's turn 2014 into a historical anomalous election like 2008. That's what we need to be processing in our mind. How can we turn this into 2008? You know, it is not too late to get that kind of energy stirred up. We just got to make up our mind that we're ready to do it. That it doesn't have to be Obama for us to get out there and go make it happen. Because if we don't start making it happen, they're going to make it happen to us. Now, I'm going to come back after this break, and I'm going to close it up. And I'll be right back after this short break. South and Dirty with Scout Smith. And if you're just now joining us, we're talking about the African Americans and how we will turn out the vote in this 2014 midterm election. Now, let's talk about some of the reasons why we might not be getting out to vote. And this is a hard conversation to have now, you know, and if you want to chime in for whatever reason, you can call in at 657-383-0995. That is a toll number, so if you call and you don't have unlimited long distance on that, oh, it will charge you, and I'm not paying for it, so you need to be aware of that. But one of some of the reasons we're not voting, apathy. Some of us just don't give a damn. I walk into so many African Americans that say, you know, my vote doesn't make a difference. They're gonna do what they want to do anyway, and yeah, they're gonna do what they want to do anyway if you don't go out there and vote. You wonder why the new roles and the new stuff get put in certain neighborhoods versus others. Even when it comes to African-American neighborhoods, they know where we vote at. If you go around your particular area and you go look at the voter turnout numbers in your particular city or county, and you can even go into the African-American community, look at the precincts and where there's more voter participation than there are in other ones. You'll see the newer sidewalks getting placed in. You'll see better playgrounds. You'll see better performing schools. You'll see everything because the people in that particular community participate in their government. So when we talk about, we got some Republicans that are talking about school choice. If you want better schools and you want better outcomes out of your schools, I, one, suggest you go vote. Two, I suggest you get involved, regardless if you're working or not. Send letters to the teachers. Let them know you're involved. Send them an email. If something goes wrong and you don't like it, just don't try to handle it yourself. Get a group together and try to handle it, because you ain't the only parent going through this. Find out if other folks are having a problem. Or if there's something that's good going on, tell your school that they're doing good when they do something good. Giving them some motivation. If you got a teacher who's teaching well, go buy, a little gift or something. Show your appreciation so that she keeps her motivation up. But we have to get participating in our system. And that is one of the reasons we don't turn out, because we don't believe we can participate. Some of us don't even care to participate. Now, this is one of the things that completely and totally aggravate me as an African-American. We have some of us who are completely addicted to the stereotype that has been placed on us. There are some of us who want to be on welfare. And we look for, even though we have an ability to grab up by our bootstraps and lift ourselves up, we choose to stay in those positions. You have those of us who want to be single parents. Even though you may have a situation in which you can rise up and you can keep your family together, this, that, and other, you choose to throw it away because it seems to be something in the back of our head that is poisonous that allows that to continue. And it goes into our civic life. We just don't give a damn. There are some of us that just don't. We need to work. If you know who you are, you need to work on that. You need to pray on it. Because it is causing a cancer to spread throughout our community. Because everybody you come in contact, you infect with that nonchalant, I don't give a damn, I'm going to be the least common denominator that I can be. And that is a problem. That is why some don't vote. And then you have in some counties and in some cities where you have our officials, our own damn officials are corrupt. That makes people say, well, damn, I vote you in the office. And you go up there and you're F with the money. You looking out for yourself. You come talk to me only during election year. But I tell you again, people, guess what? If you don't like the some bitches, excuse my language, if you don't like them, vote them out. That's where your vote come in. They don't get up there by themselves. If you think the same idiots will keep putting them back in the office, then you need to become a new set. It's just what it is. And if you don't, and if you just ain't content with voting, run. There's nothing to stop you from running for office. If you don't have any money, you can go up there and fill out a pauper's affidavit saying that you can't afford to put in the money for the qualification. Run. But you best to do it right. You best be prepared to go out there, knock on doors, raise money, do the whole thing. Because guess what? Democracy is not a spectator sport. It is meant for engagement. And that's one of the things I have to say, is that we always don't get engaged. We can sit there and talk about Real Life Housewives of Atlanta. We can talk about love and hip-hop. We can sit there and we get real crunk up about football, basketball, and any other sport that we're involved in. We get crunk up about celebrities, but we do not get crunk up for what's going on in our community. We just don't. We can sit there and talk about how we don't love them hoes. We can call this person over here a fight. We can do all this other stuff we be doing. But we won't go vote. I don't vote. And you think that shit cute. Excuse my language. You done got me riled up because this is one of the things that thoroughly upsets me. I don't do politics. Well, honey, politics is going to do you. I need for you to rise up out of the malaise that's going on in your mind, because you need to understand that there's a high level of consciousness that our whole community needs to get to. And the ones that are participating cannot afford to be carrying the rest of y'all alone. We need for you to engage. We need the whole thing to engage. That's why I said 30% turnout is good. They say that's what we need to win. But let's not be mediocre, people. Let's go for the gusto. Let's go for the grand prize. Like I say, in 2014, we can make this one of those another historical year. We just need to get out and vote. And vote Democratic, because that's what's going to take us over. Progressive policies work. Do not be fooled into this late 20th, early 21st century thinking that the Republicans done brought up out of the depths of the dark ages and tried to reinvent. You got to go back to the golden age. Even if you look back, you go back to the golden age, and you can sit there and see where Aristotle and Socrates had good governance ideas. You can even look back at the early empires, Rome, and even Egypt, and you can see where there were programs that they did. Hell, they were always building something. You wonder why. It was good for the nation to keep your infrastructure up. They were in the Bible, one of the first, you hear Pharaoh always worried about how much grain in the story thing. That, well, he wouldn't eat all that grain. That grain had to be stored so he could give it out to the people so that they could make flour to make bread. He was worried about the herds so people could eat. He knew he had to feed his people. Well, in modern-day America, everybody's on their own. You was never on your own unless you're living out in the middle of the forest somewhere by yourself. But if you're living in civilization, there's no on your own. There has to be good governance, and it has to be progressive. Everybody must have an equal opportunity at freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty without equal opportunity is nothing. That is nothing but an invitation to tyranny. Because the people who are looking for freedom and liberty but not equal opportunity are only looking for it for themselves, to either gain some type of position of superiority to be able to create and gather more wealth. And without equal opportunity, they limit the competition. There's nothing capitalistic about it. When people call you saying you being a socialist, they are lying to their face when they're talking about progressive policies, because what they're doing is actually more socialist than what we're doing. They are attempting to control the economy for their gain. So we need to get out and vote. It does make a difference. It makes a difference. We have another week of early voting to take place. We're going to go through this week. I want everybody to go out and vote. And I want you to go out and vote like you've never voted before. Because our children's future is at stake. We're setting up for a return to good governance here in Georgia. And if Georgia does it, Georgia will lead the way and it will go to place through the rest of the South. We need to vote. So for all of you that are listening and have not went out to vote yet, I suggest that you go out and vote. Sunday voting is going on right now in several counties here in Georgia. If you do not have Sunday voting in your county, please be prepared to go out and vote tomorrow. or sometime this week. And if you don't make it this week, November 4th, you need to turn out to the polls. For those of you here in Tribe County and in the surrounding areas, we got a very special treat tomorrow at 9 o'clock at the Tribe County, LaGrange Tribe County Chamber of Commerce building. The next governor of the state of Georgia, Jason Carter, and his grandmother, former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, will be here in LaGrange at 9 a.m. So come in, come out, meet the next governor of the state of Georgia. He'll shake his hand, get inspired, be ready to go vote. Now, I'm going to go vote tomorrow. We don't have Sunday voting here in Tribe County. I'm going to go vote tomorrow, and I'm hoping people will follow me from the Chamber of Commerce across the square to the government center to go early vote. And with that, this is Down South. You have a great Sunday afternoon. Remember, go vote. This is Down South and Dirty with Scott Smith. Y'all have a wonderful day.